This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, a couple of interesting things that have come out from a few snippets from the last few days. The first of which is the press conference that was held yesterday involving Prime Minister Netanyahu and Marco Rubio, which made for some quite fascinating listening. I think one of the things that really came out loud and strong was the attempt by the Prime Minister to make it clear that the US was part of the decision to attack Doha. And when I say part of the decision, I don't necessarily mean that the US was involved in making the decision, but they were certainly in the know. They certainly knew about it. And another Israeli government representative made a separate statement that said that Prime Minister Netanyahu had actually called President Trump before the attack took place and in enough time to allow the attack to be cancelled before it went ahead, when the Prime Minister notified President Trump of the attack. And what the official said was the president didn't say no. That was the way that it was presented. However, for me, one of the most important moments of that press conference was when a journalist from the Wall Street Journal asked Prime Minister Netanyahu the following question. He said, "Do you rule out further strikes on Hamas operatives within the sovereign territory of countries in the region?" Now, for those of us who know the Prime Minister, and many people do, you know that he can be very diplomatic and he can avoid answering questions directly if he needs to. But when he answered the question, "Do you rule out further strikes on Hamas operatives within the sovereign territory of countries in the region?" the Prime Minister said, "No." That was it.
Wow, that's pretty clear.
When he was asked whether the US were actually involved in carrying out the attack or making the decision, he said, "We did this on our own, period." That was the answer. "We did it on our own, period." So a few interesting things from the press conference yesterday. And ultimately, I think that even though the US is still not all that enthusiastic about the fact that this attack took place, and President Trump has said on a few occasions that there will not be further attacks in Qatar, which somewhat conflicts, I think, with the Prime Minister's no to the answer whether other attacks will take place in other countries. I think that we've sort of managed to navigate over this slightly difficult period, and I think that the US continues to support Israel in its war efforts and, of course, its efforts to secure the release of hostages. So even though that was clearly a little difficult, it seems to me that we've navigated over that. Just before we get on to other important things, Howard, I do want to just bring listeners' attention to an interview that was conducted recently with Israeli singer Idan Reichel. He's someone who's been on the music scene for a very, very long time. He was quite well known as the one singer with the dreadlocks. These days, his dreadlocks are not quite so dreadlocked. They've got more of a hairstyle like mine and yours, Howard, than the dreadlocks. Sure. Time does its thing. But Idan Reichel was interviewed about an incident connected to this war where a soldier who was in Khan Yunus in operation found a picture of Idan Reichel in a home in Khan Yunus on a sideboard somewhere. Bizarre. In that home. And the picture showed Idan with his dreadlocks, and he was pictured with a young boy and his father. And Idan went on to tell the story about that young boy and his father when the picture was taken. He said that Idan said that he was involved in charitable work to help bring children to Israel for medical attention. And that young boy was one of those that Idan helped to bring to Israeli hospitals for medical attention from Gaza. The picture was taken, and the picture was taken back to Gaza, and it remained on that table in Khan Yunus until that soldier went in there during the course of this war, picked up the picture and brought it back to Idan, and they had this discussion. And so the soldier then went on to say that young boy and that father were Hamas operatives, were Hamas terrorists involved in the war, and they were identified as such. So this was kind of a full circle of someone who Idan Reichel had personally helped to bring to Israel for medical attention, and who ultimately ended up being killed as a Hamas terrorist in the war. And then Idan went on to link it to another discussion that he'd had with an Austrian lady who told him that during the course of the Shoah, she said, there were no innocents in Austria. There were no people who could turn around and say, we had no idea. We just didn't know. It is true that there were many who were not in favor, who were opposed to what was going on around them, who even acted against what was going on around them. But there's nobody who could turn up and say, we had no idea about all of this that was going on around us. And so said Idan, the same is true for me in Gaza. He says, but there is one important difference. He says that during the period of the Shoah, there were many who acted against the regime, and many of those have been recognized as the so-called righteous amongst the nations, which is an honor that has been bestowed on many non-Jews who actively risked their lives to help Jewish people during the period of the Shoah. And then says Idan to this interviewer, there are no righteous amongst the nations in Gaza.
Yeah, I read that quote and I thought, wow, that is really devastating.
So that is Idan Reichel, who went out of his way to attempt to help people, and who's now come around to this conclusion that there are no righteous amongst the nations in Gaza.
Absolutely terrible. Really just the most awful, awful story. Let's talk about the Summit of Leaders of Arab and Muslim Countries. That took place yesterday in Qatar. What came out of that meeting?
Well, I think there are a few interesting things that have come out of the meeting. First of all, the fact that the meeting was put together very, very quickly in response to Israel's attack in Doha against the Hamas leaders. And Qatar felt it was necessary to bring together the leaders of all the Arab and Muslim countries to discuss this. And it was quite some table that was set up in Doha with all those leaders around the table, many, many representatives from numerous countries around the region, all there. They all turned up, and it was really a number one kind of meeting, which means that the leader of every country, the prime minister, the president, the king, the emir, whoever is the number one person in that country, they were the ones who turned up. Of course, Abu Mazen as well, Mahmoud Abbas also turned up from the Palestinian Authority, and he was seen mingling with the leaders of numerous countries around the region. President al-Sisi of Egypt was quoted as saying the following: the way the enemy perceives us must change, and this should be done through a united front as an Arab and Islamic nation in a way that will deter any aggressor. And of course, when he talks about the enemy, he means Israel. And it's ironic that Egypt and Israel actually have a peace agreement, and so therefore they are no longer enemies, even though they were once upon a time before the peace agreement was signed. And yet al-Sisi felt that it was necessary in that context, in that meeting, in that forum, to talk about Israel as the enemy. Having said all of that, and having put all of these leaders together and this show of force against Israeli aggression in Qatar and in Doha, there was really very little criticism, official criticism of Israel, and no proper decisions that were taken that should be pursued against Israel. Now, I should also add that the meeting happened to coincide with the fifth anniversary of the Abraham Accords. And so there was a certain irony that this meeting is taking place ostensibly against Israel, and it was all kind of billed as being a response to the attack by Israel and therefore against Israel. And it was happening exactly on the fifth anniversary of the Abraham Accords. And yet, when you kind of sift out all of the hot air and all the discussions and the handshakes and the photo opportunities and all of that kind of thing, there was very, very little that came out of this meeting that seemed to threaten the peace agreements that Israel has with Egypt and Jordan, that seemed to threaten the Abraham Accords that have been signed with other countries around the region. There was very, very little that threatened any of that. In fact, on the contrary, the Qataris came out saying they still continue to be committed to trying to mediate some sort of a hostage release and to try to mediate the end of the war. So all of them coming together and all the mingling, we saw the president of Syria and the president of Turkey and the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and the king of Jordan and the ruler of Qatar and all of these people in one room getting together to discuss things and to see and to be seen. And yet nothing really of substance came out of all of that. I guess, you know, we can reach our own conclusions about that.
Absolutely. There's, it's felt like this for the whole way through for me in terms of theater. The IDF continues preparations for an extensive operation in Gaza City. What next?
Well, what the IDF has been doing up until now has been systematically attacking some of the high-rise buildings in Gaza City from the air. That's what's been happening over the past few weeks. And there has been some criticism about the strategy of attacking these high-rise buildings, because obviously the moment you hit a high-rise building, you make numerous families who lived in those buildings homeless, because the buildings are being destroyed one after the other. And so there's been a lot of criticism about that tactic. I should also hasten to add that all of these operations, and every time any of these buildings have been hit from the air, it's come with a so-called knock on the roof, which means a warning to all of those people who live in the area to clear out right away. And there was one instance when the Gazans accused Israel of not being completely honest, because apparently they were warned to evacuate a school where they were staying because they were told that a nearby building was going to be hit by the IDF, and they left their belongings in the school, and ultimately the school was destroyed along with their belongings. And then came out these accusations that the IDF wasn't being entirely fair in the way that it was evacuating people and the information that it was disseminating prior to these attacks. So whether or not that is a justified position to hold, I think we can all conclude that there is a very effective communication system going on, that the IDF do notify all of the people involved. These high-rise buildings that have been attacked come with very, very few casualties, even official casualties from the Gaza Health Ministry, which we know has inflated numbers significantly during the period of this war, and also misstated who the people are who have been casualties of the war, not only how many, but how it divides up between those who have been combatants and those who are not. But the reality is that with all these high-rise buildings that have been attacked, there have been very, very few casualties. So the communication is clearly effective. And this is the IDF strategy to try to clear the lie of the land before a ground invasion. These high-rise buildings present real threats to IDF soldiers on the ground. Many of them are booby-trapped, and so they have to really get out of the way before the IDF could send in ground troops and do so in a way that is as safe as possible for our ground troops. There are reports even today that there are tanks in Gaza City, so there is some speculation that that ground offensive has even begun today or is due to begin in the coming hours, very, very soon, maybe in another day or two. But certainly reports of ground troops already in Gaza City, some reports that Israeli hostages have been brought above ground in Gaza City to be held as human shields against the coming up attack that Israel is due to carry out on the ground. But we do expect within the next few days for ground troops to be on the ground in Gaza City after the preparation that's been taking place.
And that is all we have time for. Unfortunately, Anthony Rauch, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.